This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
Well, I should have brought you flowers today, Steve. You know what today is, right?
What the today? Today is the day before Thanksgiving, isn't it?
How dare you forget our 1 year anniversary?
We have an anniversary that I missed.
No, what's yes, not the anniversary this was the first, a year ago is when we announced that we were going to do this show.
Oh, when we announced but the channel was December 14th. That's our
right. I mean, like this.
Yeah, because that's partnership. Okay. All right, because I know the channel first got exactly. I forgot. I love you. I'm so sorry. I'll make it up to you later. And by the way, is it weird that I really still dance to this music that when we have a lead in, it really gets you going. I really love that intro.
We have company, Steve.
You don't even see me on camera except for Dave. But I feel like dancing to it because I love that song. It's got a killer beat, dude.
Speaking of company, I have been excited about this show for a long time. I've been a fan of this gentleman for a while. And when we started doing the Jilly Juice and the Danny Glass episodes, he popped in my – I was like, we have to get Miles Power on here because he would just complete the entire – so this is surreal to have him here. And we welcome you, sir. Thank you for taking the time to come on. We really appreciate it.
No. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'll give you a big part. I apologize for him, Miles. It's going to get worse as we go along. So just
it's a lot, Joe.
just a couple of announcements before we dive in. Tomorrow we will not have a Non Sequitur show. I'm actually going to be streaming with Jimmy. We're going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to try my best. I've said this the other day, and I'm going to try my best to do this, depending on how much I get done with our family's Thanksgiving. Around 10 o'clock to 10:30, I'm going to go live and show you guys my signature dish. For those of you who don't know, I used to be an executive chef, and I do a really mean Thanksgiving dish, and I'm going to set it up where I'm going to take you through, and we'll cook it together. Because I have to do it anyway for my family's Thanksgiving. So if I can get it all worked out and logistically squared away, we'll do that. It'll be probably around 10 o'clock, but I'll put an announcement on Twitter or on the community section of our channel, and we'll run through that. Okay, Friday, two things. Everybody knows I have an unhealthy obsession with shopping on Black Friday, so I will be doing some videos from live outside in the madness. We'll show you what's going on with people trying to get the dollhouses for their kids. It's always the biggest one. Parents fight like crazy over the last toy in the it's never the TVs or the electronics. It's always the toys. But also on Friday, we had Lord Rael, who is the gentleman that claims he is the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. We did a show on him about a month ago. He didn't like it. And so he's personally handling this show. He wants to set the record straight. And so if you've ever wanted to ask I can't believe this is real, the reincarnation of Jesus Christ a question, then now is your time to do so. Miles, I'll tell you this. He actually has a Twitter account, and one of his tweets said this, and I quote, "If you'd like to honor your Lord, be sure to tweet more. Tweet at him more."
Oh, that needs to be like the 11th commandment, doesn't it? Thou shall always tweet excessively.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
somewhere in the Bible, don't you know God planned it?
280 characters or what have you.
We'll find Josh in the Bible code. There.
Yes, absolutely. And then last but not least, Saturday Night Fights, as always, on Saturday nights, Reds and Brother Ernest will be with us. Brother Ernest does not believe that Bruce Lee was a thing. This is something that we will have to tackle before we get into The Shape of the Earth, but he believes Bruce Lee was a hoax. I don't know how, but he does. and then Miles is probably like, what in the hell have I signed myself up for here?
Hello, Ben. I'm not going to lie.
We get some strange people, man. We like to talk to strange people.
Oh, I love that too. And, so I'm going to fit in really well here.
Exactly. And there's quite a few things. The one thing with that kind of eats through your face, the black. So I'm not familiar with that. This was new to me whenever I was looking at some of your video, you know, deeper into your videos. And as I looked into that, I became more and more freaked out that people actually do that. So I'm looking forward to learning about a little bit more about how that works. So yeah, let's jump right into it. Miles, for those out there who are watching that maybe don't know who you are, can you kind of give them a brief intro and why you do what you do?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Miles Power. I'm from a small town in the northeast of England called Middlesbrough, and I'm a YouTuber. Not professionally, I'm a chemist in real life, but I have a hobby, which is making YouTube videos where I like to, I guess, fact check the more interesting things that people say online. Because I believe at the moment there's a bit of a renaissance happening of in pseudoscience, pseudomedicine, general quackery and just bullshit. I mean, I'd swear, aren't I? That's okay, isn't it?
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, it's encouraged. We'll go with that.
Yeah. Fucking marvelous. Yeah, so I've got a YouTube channel where I fact check these things. And also I tend to go after things that are generally accepted by the general public that turn out to be absolute rubbish. For example, there's a lot of hysteria around GMOs and that they cause everything under the sun, which factually is not accurate. So I've been doing this now for, as of last week, 8 years, so quite a large chunk of my life, and I finally got 100,000 subscribers, which is fantastic. And here's to the next 100,000.
Yeah, it's not a bad hobby. He said it's a hobby, but that's not a bad hobby, having over 100,000 people follow your hobby. No. I mean, that's, you've made it then. Here's the thing though. Like we just hit a little over 17K. We just started in February and we just hit a little over 17K. And just in these 8 months, I am, my faith in humanity has tanked so much because I learned about things doing YouTube that I never knew existed. How did you survive 8 years dealing with this shit? I just can't imagine.
I think it has to do with I have a very high threshold of what really winds me up. So there's a lot of stuff I'll listen to. There's a lot of events I'll go to, and I can report back to people what I've seen and what I've learned, and they will lose their minds, be like, oh my goodness, how did you not punch this person in the face? But to me, I don't know. I have a, I guess, a disconnect for some of the more unsettling things that I've discovered over the last 8 years. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are times where, you know, you're reading something or you're watching a video and you're like, Jesus Christ, you know, what, someone needs to stop these people. They are going to kill people if they haven't already. And I'm sure we're going to talk about various examples later on. But no, I think it all comes back to me having a high threshold in bullshit, basically.
What I'm interested in, what is something that does push the envelope for you? Like, what's something that just is...
Yeah, I don't know if I should tell you because that's just inviting people to send me stuff now. What really gets to me is things done to either animals or people who can't consent. So I hate any kind of bullshit that's performed on animals. I think anyone who does that should have their animal taken away from them. I think they should be locked away. I mean, a lot of people think that I don't like nature because I'm pro GMO and all this kind of stuff with it. And I don't like animals. That's bollocks. No, I do. And if anyone uses quackery on an animal, I have no sympathy. And it's the same for children and adults elderly adults who are suffering, let's say, from dementia or what have you. I think it's truly awful, and that really gets my blood going. But that's probably the only thing that really does off the bat straight away.
I will tell you that we are one and the same in that. That is the one thing that I can't stomach. And like, even when I don't know if you have them over there in England, but we have these commercials for the ASPCA, and it plays Sarah McLachlan, that aren't in the arms of the angel song, and it shows all of these, like, you know, cowering dogs and kittens, and every time that comes on, I like dive bomb for the remote to change the channel. Like, I can't even hear the song now without thinking of those those poor little dogs. So we've had the opportunity to do quite a few episodes, or we've had people ask us to do episodes on animal abuse, and we've done one. And I don't think I could do another one because sitting there watching and listening, and I just can't do that. I'm right there. Were you going to say something, follow up right there? I didn't mean to cut you off.
Who, me? Oh, no. Sorry about that. It's just a bit of a lag, so it's quite difficult.
Yeah. With the system, there is a little bit of a lag. It becomes more fluid as we go along, but it is, you know, you got to get used to it at first. Okay, so the reason that I wanted you to come on initially, and what made me think of you, is Jilly Juice. Now, Jilly is no stranger to this channel. Everybody knows Dick Pick Gate, with my comment that I left where she got offended a couple hours before showtime, and oddly enough, it was the next day. We did our show anyway. We had Jeff Holliday come on, and we all did kind of like a summary of what she, you know, what she pushes out there. She had a little bit of a breakdown on Facebook, and wound up getting banned for 30 days. And it was inspired by me, because that's when she went on the gay kick. Like, the gay thing is something that you can flush out of your system. It's an evil energy that needs to, you know, die out. So Facebook struck her for that. So if anything, we did get her at least from not posting crap on Facebook for 30 days. But you actually went a step further, and you did something that you're a brave man. And we're going to show about a minute of this clip, but I want you guys to focus on Miles's face, and you will be able to see everything that Jilly Juice is, I think.
I mean, what do I plan to achieve by this? I mean, it's just, it's going to be awful, and I'm going to spit it out because it's fucking salt water.
Oh, Dave, we don't have sound.
How anyone can get past that?
Yeah, there's no audio on that, Dave.
we're just looking at his face. I get it.
Okay, you guys.
Okay, for the podcast people, we are looking at Miles' face and his look of disgust. So let me I'll narrate this. Oh, he just keeps it up.
Okay,
it was good. Looks tasty, man.
Oh, God.
people that listen to this podcast in the future, they know how lucky they are.
Okay.
They didn't see this.
Okay, how can I describe it? Well, it's exactly what you think of. It's horrible. cabbage that's been left out for 3 days in salt water. It's gross. The smell is horrible.
Right.
And the smell is still lingering. The smell.
Can I
say as well?
No.
That was worse than drinking bleach.
Oh yeah, I drank bleach.
Do you still taste, did you have the aftertaste in your mouth after all this time? Can you still remember the flavor?
Here's the weird thing. The taste wasn't as bad as I thought. It was. I mean, I think it was because the smell was so overpowering that was the thing that got to me. And when I put it in my mouth, then it was just all there. I mean, it tasted like you think it tasted someone's ass with salt. It was awful. But the smell was something else. My house stank for days and days and days. I'd come home from work and I'd be like, good Lord, it stinks of chili juice still. What's going on?
Oh, can you take us through, if you can remember, like what are the ratios or the ingredients that go into a chili juice serving?
This is surprising how fast my memory goes. So chili juice is basically fermented cabbage juice or kale juice, with lots and lots of pink Himalayan salt. So it's roughly, I think it's two cups of water per one cup of shredded kale and one teaspoon of pink, and it has to be pink Himalayan salt. And I joked in my video, I should try and get some GMO free salt, which actually exists, which is fascinating.
No, it does not. Does it
no,
really?
No, it does. No, you can search it. No, yeah, you can search for it. So I actually even found the reason why the company said it as well. So the idea is that you put in, what is it? I can't remember what metal it is. It's not fluorine. Iodine. There's an iodine source
iodine.
For people.
You have an iodine?
And
you put iodine, it makes it flow easier. You give them caking.
Yeah, but and apparently there's also a bit of cornstarch in there, like tiny amounts, and therefore that cornstarch is non-GMO, so that makes it non-GMO Himalayan salt. Ridiculous.
Oh, man. Have we gotten this bad in society, really?
GMO and GMO water?
The things you can find that are non-GMO are fantastic. You can find non-GMO kitty litter, which, why?
Oh, my. Why? Oh, man. See?
My favorite one is non-GMO water.
Yeah. Dude, I was kidding. No shit. No, really? Kidding, actually. They have non-GMO water. And GMO water.
How do you even begin to break that down, honestly?
It's a fascinating one. It's all about fear. This whole branding thing, which is not official. It's a company that does it, and they rely on people's fear and to sell things. And companies realize that they can market this and they can make their product, which there may not even be a GMO variety of it, and they can put this label on there, and consumers will say, "Hey, therefore, it's healthier somehow."
Ah, like with the gluten or the MSG thing, it seems like there's different phases that we go through. MSG was a big one several years back, and then we went to gluten, and now we're at GMO, I guess. Steve, are you wearing a non-GMO t-shirt right now?
Yeah, I think this is polyunsaturated, non-trans fat, GMO, hygienically safe. Polyunsaturated. To go back to the chili juice, because I wanted to throw this caveat on there. You're talking about animals. I really don't care if people want to drink this crap and kill themselves if they're that stupid. I'm one of those people. I just have no sympathy. But when they give it to their dogs, that's where I'm drawing the line. At that point, then it goes full circle. They're using their animals. They need to have the animal taken away, and they need to go to jail.
Yeah, I agree. And I would say the same as well with children, because if you go online for a time when you were on Julie's Facebook page, you could see videos of her followers posting videos of their children who were taking it, who were on the toilet and were obviously distressed.
Oh, man. I thought that would be her undoing 2 weeks ago, because one of her posts 2 weeks ago was that she was talking to one of her followers about putting their dog on it. They had a picture of the dog and the owner putting it in a bowl. And Jilly was like, yes, we need to get everybody's pets on this. The pets need to be on the protocol. They need to be cleansed too. And I thought that that would be your undoing, because if there's one thing you can't fuck with is people's pets. You know, the diehard, you know, animal rights people, I thought they would pick up on that and run with it, but she's still out and about spouting off her same bullshit.
How would you even feed a dog salty cabbage water? I think that would be impossible.
You think they would turn their nose up to it, right?
That's a good question. Yeah. That's a good question. Yeah, it may not be something that's feasible.
The whole Jilly Juice thing is absolutely ridiculous, by the way. But do you guys know that I've read her book, which is like 200 pages of just nonsense? Nothing makes any sense. I was there reading it on a train up to Glasgow at the time. And it's just like, I'm like 100 to 200 pages in, and I still don't understand what she's talking about. Apparently this Jilly Juice it's magical. It fixes everything that's wrong with you for rather bizarre reasons that I still now don't fully understand. It's she's making it up on the spot. Let's not be around the bush here. It's all bollocks.
She
you're not welcome
in her book. In her sources, she quoted Paul Revere, the story of Paul Revere, and the dictionary. She put because she looked up a word, she cited the dictionary as a source. And because she said this quote or this phrasing, and maybe you remember better than I do, but it was something about stopping this is the equivalent of us letting the redcoats come in when Paul Revere. Something to do with Paul Revere, and instead of us fighting back, just letting them go. So she put Paul Revere's Wikipedia page as one of her sources.
That's some good R&D right there. Have you seen? I mean, she does actually quote not scientific papers, but she quotes a bit of science malarkey. So her rather bizarre idea is that you've got to. She basically bases your whole diet, she promotes, on your element analysis, essentially what the composition of your body is, how much of it is hydrogen, how much is oxygen, blah, 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 blah. But for some reason, she believes that it's okay to have a mass overload of sodium and chlorine. I'm sorry, I realize that people might be listening to this and thinking that I'm not making any sense. This is literally what she's saying. It's really hard to vocalize her ideas. Because they're just all over the place. Yeah, she can talk for Queen and Country. She talks for hours and hours and hours without saying anything.
The other thing with her too is that she's so like, it's nothing is her fault and she's not responsible for anything. I go back to the Dr. Phil episode where she's just incredulous. Like there are two women across from her that had a stroke because of the salt intake that they were coming in, and she was just unmoved, unfazed, unwilling to admit that she bore any responsibility there. And to me, that's just. And I mean, yeah, they are making it themselves. Like she's not selling an already put together product, so there's all kind of loopholes that she kind of falls into. But at some point, somebody's got to step in.
Yeah, I know. By the way, this is a pet peeve of mine, is where people give out medical advice and tell people, what to do if they're ill, but they think they're safe because they have a disclaimer in their book or they have a disclaimer on their website. And I think that's absolutely atrocious. I think if someone's giving out medical advice that's potentially dangerous and leads to people having a stroke, I'm sorry, you should get sent down. You know, you shouldn't be giving out this kind of stuff. And when she was on Dr. Phil, Jesus Christ, she was so out of phase with everyone there. I was watching it, and the first thing that came to my mind is, and I know it's just so cliche and such a shit thing to say, but it's like, is she on something? Because she just doesn't seem to be absorbing what people are telling her, and she seems to be in her own realm.
Fermented cabbage, that's what she's on. She is on fermented cabbage.
You guys may not know this, but this is not a unique thing. This is a reiteration of something that happened back in my day that I remember, because she talks about parasites, right? And the Jilly Juice is supposed to cleanse your parasites like that. That actually stems from a book that was written called A Cure for All Cancers. Have you read that or familiar with that from Dr. Clark? What was her name?
No, sorry.
Dr. Mm-hmm. Clark was this quack neuropath that had suggested that flukes and parasites in the liver were causing cancer. And so she made this machine called the Zapper, and you could buy the parts at Raider Shack. So I tried making one to test it out, kind of thing. And it's basically an oscillator, and you hold onto these things. And what it does is it sends a high frequency signal through you, and that's supposed to resonate the flukes and kill them. It's bullshit. And she, you know, got sued, and the FDA got involved, and she moved to Mexico. And, you know, it was just a huge quackery, right? But the concept is just, this is just a new, you know, a new and a revived iteration of that kind of concept, that these parasites are causing all the problems in humanity, including somehow fixing the, if you get an amputation or something, it could correct that too. I don't know how flukes do that, but.
Do you not think there's odd correlations there from what you're saying between what Jilly's saying and Scientology? So you have to hold these kind of cam things that are going to detect these things in your feet and parasites. And
yeah, it's very similar. But Scientology, right? It's different.
I'm in the middle of this, reading a galvanic
difference. Oh, shit.
It's really interesting one as well. Yeah, it's exactly like you would think it is, nothing but bullshit, but it's written rather eloquently. So L. Ron Hubbard had that going for him.
That's what everybody says. We've had several Scientologists on here. We actually had David Miscavige, the leader of Scientology. His dad came on, and interview with him.
David Miscavige, that would be amazing.
Although we were frightened there for a week that he was going to, come kidnap us. I got a lot of messages, like cryptic messages from Scientologists saying, don't have Ron Miscavige on. It won't happen. This interview won't happen. So, but yeah, it's frightening that even that group themselves are able to, you know, kind of function within society with some of the stories and things that they do to their, you know, their members. It's crazy, but every one of them will tell you that L. Ron Hubbard had a way with words, and that's why he was able to convince so many people that a science fiction writer, that's what he does for a living. He's a science fiction writer, but yet he holds the key to the world's true religion, which is that a galactic overlord dropped us into volcanoes several, you know, millions of years ago and from Xenu. And that's where we are today. Nobody made the connection. Kyle.
You make it sound it like is, some though. Crazy idea. Come on.
It is crazy. It's bizarre.
Mm-hmm. You talk about parasites and stuff, but that is a cornerstone for a lot of quackery out there. I mean, you said that you want to talk about, spoilers, turpentine therapy later on, and that is practically copy and pasted from Jilly Juice. It's exactly the same. In fact, I actually found out about turpentine therapy from Jilly. So I was watching one of her videos, and she was saying how she was going to expose all these other alternative medicine things for being crap, and she listed them all. And then she was like, "Oh, turpentine therapy." And I was like, "Wait, what? Say that again."
Okay, I have a question though about before we go any further on Jilly. Is there any, or since you've been looking into these all of these claims deeply in various aspects of, you know, woo and pseudoscience, is there any truth to the parasite claim? Where do you think that stems from? Where's that worry coming from?
I guess it comes from being having a smidgen of truth to it. So this yeast does exist. It is an opportunistic yeast that, when things go wrong, can be fairly nasty. And people tend to take this little snippet of truth and just run with it. And this just happens to be one that has caught on. For every one of these, there'll be a million others that haven't, that we never hear of. But unfortunately, this one, yeah, is just gone. It kind of makes, and I guess it's easy to understand as well, kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm. There's truth to the flukes too. Flukes can cause liver cancer, and they can get in your bile ducts, and you can. There is a grain of truth to these things, but that doesn't mean what mm-hmm. they're saying is the solution to it.
Well, no, yeah,
it's really fascinating. Oh, sorry, I was going to say it's really fascinating when you find these grains of truth that are in the weirdest of things. So at the moment, I'm looking into the gay frogs from Alex Jones.
there's oh, frogs are gay. They told truth gay. There. Yeah, totally yes. Gay frogs. We need more.
Well,
gay frogs.
While there may be a smidgen of truth to that, let's go into where there is absolutely no truth to anything that she says. And where she really made me angry was about, it was this post was made a month and a half ago, and this was on her Facebook page. And this is, I don't know if you've seen this Facebook post of hers, but it's a doozy. So just listen to this, guys. I put out a request for anyone that's willing to risk their reputation and ridicule and online harassment and stalking who are amputees to do the protocol that will witness you regrow your limbs as well as missing organs. Patients will regrow their organs. I do have the science behind all the claims, and I'm making those on my website if you truly want to know. But I do request anyone who is willing to be adopted by me to put themselves out there and prove to the world that they can regrow an organ or a limb and reverse Down syndrome as well as autism and reverse your paraplegic, quadriplegic body.
how do you even respond to that? What I've never got about people like her is, why do they not test it on themselves? You know, if you believe that you can grow back limbs, if you can grow back parts of your body that you shouldn't be able to grow back, it's very easy to test, Julie. All you need to do, cough a little baby finger, drink your magical juice, and if it grows back, well done, you're gonna have a Nobel Prize. You know, the world would be different. There'll be statues of you holding juice all over the bloody world. I mean, that's a really easy one. An even easier one is that she's that, you know, you can alter your blood for some reason by drinking this juice because the antigens on blood are actually somewhat bad for humans. And I know that Julie she's O positive. At least she said she is. So that's an easy test. She's been drinking this juice for God knows how long. Is she O negative now? She's not. No, you're full of shit then, aren't you, love?
I was getting ready to bring that up because I thought that was brilliant in your video about her, that it's something that is so simple to test. She had made the statement that she had been tested. What was it? 10 months or it was 10 weeks or something like that.
It wasn't too long. Yeah. It was 10 months before.
Yeah.
No, but the thing is as well, she makes all these things up, especially in her book. And the problem with Julie is she's so prolific. So you'll never hear all her claims because every day she's on Facebook for 3-4 hours. You're never going to watch all that. But in her book, she states things that I'm like, there's no way you have proof of this. She's talking about pregnant mothers feeding their babies Julie juice. She's talking about taking it when you're pregnant, which I can imagine being incredibly dangerous. And she's saying it's fine. We know it's fine. I'm like, you know, bollocks. You don't know that. There's no way you know that whatsoever. What tests have you done? What have you done? Nothing. And it all comes down to this disclaimer. I wish that people like her weren't protected by a disclaimer. I think if she says something like that, I think that there should be some kind of repercussions. Sorry, I'm almost getting the pitchforks out now, aren't I?
I agree with you 100%.
Antigen, I do too. But the problem with the antigen thing is there are certain things that, from what I understand, and people in the audience, you're a biochemist, so you're a chemist, so you probably know this better.
I'm a regular chemist, no biochemist.
Okay, regular chemist. You still. Chemistry stuff, but antigens can change in the blood given certain things. I've heard instances where a person's blood type can actually change given certain enzymatic functions of proteins, but how that occurs, I have no idea. But
we agree,
it wouldn't be like a Nobel Prize if somehow it changed. The blood
we're
type,
saying that she can test that though, like that's part of her claim. Yeah. She can easily test not that. Not blood, blood test
on herself. Come on, you know, she's a bioethicist kind of person, right?
There are so many other things she could do as well to test that this is okay. Do you guys ever wonder why she does it?
No, hold on,
for money.
What was that?
Do you guys ever wonder why she does it? Because I believe that Julie is different to everyone else, where I think everyone else is somewhat doing it for somewhat altruistic reasons that they believe they're helping people. I don't think that's the case with Julie. I think that she's doing it because she wants the fame, she wants the glory, she wants the attention more than anything else.
Oh yeah, I'm okay with that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's totally no one can honestly say that in a post that you're seeking amputee. So number one, you're preying on people who are in a situation where they're missing a body part. They have some sort of ailment or disease, and you're giving them a little sliver of hope. Like, even though, you know, we know that that's not possible, if somebody's in that situation and desperate enough, she may be manipulating them to feel like, oh, this, you know, maybe if I do believe hard enough that this can happen. And to me, that's the worst.
Yeah, well, it's happened. I mean, we have at least one example of a guy who was dying from cancer. Yes, it was terminal, but he decided in the end that he was going to drink this juice. And obviously the last few weeks of his life must have been awful being on that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's, sorry, it is vile.
What should we do? What should be the, in an ideal world, how would we stop Jilly? Like, how could we prevent her from saying these things? In especially in today's, you know, First Amendment, you have the right to say whatever you want, society. How theoretically could we go up and approach this to keep her from making these claims?
Wow. Well, if I knew that one. I think, again, it comes back to these disclaimers. I mean, yeah, you can have the right, the First Amendment right that you guys have, to say whatever you want, but that doesn't save you from any repercussions of what you've said. So I think that if someone is giving out dodgy medical advice that is potentially dangerous, that there should be a system to punish these people, to prevent them from doing it. I know it sounds awful, I know it seems very draconian, but there are certain things that people are saying that are just flat out getting people killed.
I agree. You can't say fire in a theater. You know, that's one thing that it's pretty much a standard. You can't say fire in a theater and cause panic. So by that same standard, I think it could be applied, you know, to this. The question would be, would this need to be something that would be a punitive punishment or a monetary punishment? Like, should we jail people who are spreading harmful medical advice like this, or should they be civilly, like, punished with money?
I think it really depends on what exactly they're doing. So someone like Robert Young, Dr. Robert Young in the PH Miracle, you know, he's pretended to be a doctor and taken blood, and he's done all kinds of stuff. No, that guy should go in prison. That guy's broken the law. I think people like Jilly, you don't want to risk turning them into a martyr. You don't want them, because people will just love that. They'll see that as proof that she was correct. So I think, you know, a fine, something not unreasonable, like a couple of grand here and there, something that they would notice that would hurt them, but not something that would be like, oh, the government are, you know, they want me to suffer really badly. So something would just basically stop them in their tracks.
That makes sense. I think that where I would want to focus it would be on the, like we said earlier, the kids and the animals. Like, you should approach it, if a parent should have more common sense, I think, than to know that to give this amount of salt to a child that would constitute as child abuse. So that would be a direction that you could.
I'm not sure what it's like over your side of the pond, but over here, you know, people have reported parents who have been doing this kind of stuff. It was a huge thing a couple of years ago in Ireland, was MMS, Miracle Mineral Solution, which is a bleach. And a few parents actually had their children taken off them for a small amount of time. Recently, there was a nurse down south who fed her child turpentine, and she also had a kid removed and taken into foster care because of it. So here in the UK, we take it very seriously. And if you report someone to the authorities for doing this, they will investigate it. And most of the time, they'll be like, yeah, that's child abuse.
Taken seriously over here on this side of the pond too. And by the way, I do agree with what you're saying to a point, but from my history, I don't see martyrdom a lot. When you said that, you know, you risk turning her into a martyr, which is always a risk, but you know what? I've seen a lot of shit. And you know what? These people are forgotten about. They really are quickly forgotten about when they have punitive. They have they go to jail. Nobody gives a shit them any longer. They have a little fanfare, a couple, you know, diehards, but give it some time. They all get forgotten. Like, for example, you didn't remember Dr. Clark. She was huge back in the 80s, right? Nobody knows who she is now, except for me, because I've read her book. Right. But people tend to forget about this stuff. Jillian will be a nobody in a couple of years if she's just, you know, gone about or put in jail. Trust me. Nobody can make a martyr.
It depends on the cause, I think. Like if we were to jail a flat earther, a prominent flat earther now, that would be a insane martyr because it would then be the government trying to silence the truth from coming out. So it depends on, on the conspiracy.
I think for me though, I think flat earthers, all that kind of conspiracy stuff. Yeah. You can think and do whatever you want. I don't really care. I think my cutoff, everyone has a different line where they think is acceptable and where they don't think is acceptable. And my line is giving out dodgy medical advice. And I can imagine a lot of people don't agree with me, but that's mine. That's where I think the government would have to step in and say, no, that's not right. I mean, they've done it all the time. We have laws against snake oil. We have for like 100, 200 years.
I agree. I think that the angle that they're approaching Jilly now, I mean, it's creative and it could work, but it's a monetary thing with, you know, the attorney general from Ohio that's given her a certain amount of time to either prove her statements or retract all of that out of her, anything that she's selling. So her book, all of that has to, you know, come down. So she's in the middle of that right now. But I think that, I mean, when you risk people's lives like that, I think it should go a step further. That's just me. I think that there are certain things that you shouldn't be allowed to do, and potentially killing people. And we don't know if it's been worse than the stroke and the death from the guy that has cancer. It could be more than that.
This is the thing. These groups are like self-correcting, because anyone who is seriously hurt is no longer there to post about it. I mean, you see it all the time in like AIDS denialist groups. You'll see, if you scroll down long enough, you'll see people who die. And they'll say, oh, everyone in our group is fine and healthy living without medication. You're like, well, that's because everyone who's not is not here to, you know, comment.
Wow. That's wild to think about.
It's really depressing. I remember when I did a whole thing on AIDS denialism, and I remember finding these groups when they were spreading my personal information around because they're twats. And just, yeah, scrolling down, you'd see people who went from, I'm not feeling, you know, this isn't working, to being in a hospice, to no longer replying anymore. And I would see it multiple times. You'd see people die, and it was an awful thing to see.
Okay. And that's another thing too, guys. If you haven't checked out Miles' channel, you need to, because not only does he deal with things in this kind of snake oil realm, but he also branched out into another area that we've had some run-ins with that just didn't turn out well. We did a 9/11 truther debate. We hosted one of those, and man, the truthers, they come out in full force. Like they bogged down the comment section of that video for I don't know how long, and just was rattling everything that me and Steve were working for the terrorists. But I mean, they get so committed to these things. Like with the Jilly juice or any of these conspiracies, they get so like locked in. And I wanted to ask you this. There was a journal article that came out about 2 months ago, and it was showing the correlation with millennials that in today's society, religion is on the decline. You know, people are less religious than they used to be. However,
okay,
out of that, they are becoming more invested in these conspiracy theories, pseudoscience. That's increasing. So as religion, there's a correlation, as religion declines, pseudoscience beliefs increase. So they're essentially filling that void with something else that's harmful, in my opinion. So which to you is – go ahead.
I was going to say, do you not think that might just have more to do with how much the internet is now part of our life? I mean, there's certain conspiracies that I didn't know about until the internet, you know, I had fiber optic. I don't know if the two are really correlated that much, if that makes any sense. That would be my knee-jerk reaction to that.
Yeah, well, this is just the argument the article is trying to make, that they're – they're trying to fill that void with something. So as if it's not going to be religion, they need something else that they can, you know, kind of cling on to and, you know, spend all their time invested in and being a champion for. So it brought the question to my mind, which is more harmful ultimately in the grand scheme of things, a belief in something that may not be, you know, true and is discriminatory in a lot of ways, or an actual, you know, physical threat to your health with jelly juice or anti-vaxxing or that sort of thing?
Wow, that's one hell of a question. To be honest with you, for me, living in the UK, things are very different. We see religion very differently over here. And I think really the two things are kind of swings and roundabouts. I mean, a lot of people take comfort in their religion. There's a great social aspect to it, but also I can't deny that, you know, there's a lot of really horrible things done in the name of it. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm a crap guest.
Hey, that's the way that I would have to answer that too. I don't know which of those two options is the better one. They both have, you know, equally, I think, footing in good and bad. So I'm with you on that. Okay. So let's leave Jilly for just a minute so that we can kind of go into some other weird beliefs that people may not have heard of. A couple of them I haven't. And Dave, let's start with the black, what's that word? Yeah. Black, ooh, black salve
picture.
Yeah. And we're only going to leave these pictures up for a couple seconds, guys, just so you can kind of see the effects that they have, but I think that's enough of the nose guy on that. So that doesn't look fun, Miles. What's going on with that?
Okay, so black salve is a escharotic paste, which if you put on living flesh, it burns it, makes massive holes into it. And it does this because it's a mixture of bloodroot extract, which is a plant, and zinc chloride, which you can get all natural zinc chloride, apparently. And there are certain parts online where this is being promoted as a cancer cure. The idea is you put it on you, and if you have cancer, it will burn you. And if you don't have cancer, you should be fine. The thing is, it will burn whatever it comes into contact with. So the people who are convinced enough to put this on their flesh, when it does burn them, they're like, oh, I did have cancer and I was able to cure it. It's truly awful. People have died as a result of this, and a lot more have been left disfigured. And we're not talking about like, oh, a little bit of a scar. We're talking like that, you know, you saw that picture, that guy had a little bit of a nose off. But I've seen photos where people have, you know, their entire nose is gone. Their entire face is gone.
Tamest picture that I could find of the effects. That was the tamest picture on Google that I could find of the effects of that. The other ones that are on there, I don't think we would be able to show. I mean, it's just
no, they're terrifying. It's the stuff of nightmares. Yeah.
But Miles, how do you get to the point, and what is pushing people to be willing to see these pictures? Hopefully they do research it. You know, hopefully they go online and they see that this is an effect, yet they still put this stuff on their bodies.
Why do people do it? All these things tend to have certain, they're similar. They have, so for example, even with jelly juice, for example, they're all hurt people. Like they can feel the pain. And there's this kind of feeling that people have that if they hurt something, it's proof that something is working and that it's benefiting them. Maybe it came from when you were a kid, you took paracetamols and you hated the taste. But that feeling of, oh, it's hurting me, therefore it's good for me, people respond to that. And that's the same as within black salve. There's also, for some reason, people love stuff that's all natural. So jelly promotes her stuff as an all natural cure. Black salve has the bloodroot extract, and the natural zinc chloride. So that's all natural. And I also think people, there's a lot of distrust in, sometimes quite rightly, in large pharmaceutical companies. And especially, I don't mean to slack you guys off over the pond where you don't have like an NHS. So there's a monetary value to your treatment, where over here in the UK, yes, there still is a monetary value, but we don't see that. I think people also like to feel that they are somehow in control of their own fate. So them doing this is them taking charge, and they're going to show the cancer what for. But those are very broad reasons why I think people do it. I think it really comes down to the individual person, and they will have very specific reasons for why they're willing to put stuff on their flesh that will burn them, for example.
How do they choose the spot to put it on? Like, if let's say that they believe that they have cancer. Yeah. Where are they, you know, because it seems to be with the pictures that I saw, it's either targeted around the if it's a woman, the breasts or the cheek or the nose. Those seems to be the three major places that this gets put.
So it usually comes from bumps or scars or anything they tend to have. I mean, I'm sure if you feel around your own body, you're going to find the odd bump here and there. And what these people tend to do is they tend to take a picture and they'll upload it to a Facebook group, for example. These things are very popular. They're usually hidden behind like group walls. And they'll say, hey, I've got this bump. It's on my elbow. Is it cancerous? What should I do? And you'll see people be like, oh, well, you know, maybe you should try black salve, because remember, it'll only burn if it is cancerous. And not only that, it will draw out the cancer from beneath the skin, which is what they actually believe. So these people, they slowly come around to the idea that this is a good idea, and it's perfectly safe because, hey, if I don't have cancer, not going to hurt me. So they put it on. Lo and behold, part of their flesh dies and falls off. Oh, I had cancer. That was really lucky that I caught it using this stuff, and it fell off. I'm now cured.
Bizarre. Man.
By the way, what's the difference between natural zinc oxide and non-natural zinc oxide? Just kind of curious what the question would be.
It means natural means nothing really. As someone who's worked, don't know how much I can go into detail here. I've worked in an industry where we can skate around the legislation to make stuff that you wouldn't consider, I wouldn't consider to be natural, but technically is natural. I mean, we can do all sorts. For example, we can make a GMO that can produce certain compounds, but we can't sell those compounds if they come from a cell that's intact. If we lyse the cell, extract the proteins, and then do it in a petri dish, then we can sell it as natural. Natural means nothing anymore.
Wow, that's crazy to think about. That is wild to think about. So my thought with where they choose to put this was maybe this was where they thought the cancer was, you know. So like with the women they were putting on their breast, the skin cancer with the nose. My biggest fear would be the people who thought that they had something like prostate cancer, because if they started to put the
Here's the idea though. They wouldn't have to do that. They wouldn't have. Well, there are people who use it internally, so they'll put it in a little gel cap and they'll eat it anyway, there are people who do that. But the thing with black salve, the idea is that you just have to put it anywhere on your body and it will pull out the cancer. So if you have prostate cancer, you just put it on your thigh and it will pull out the cancer from your
how does that even make sense to them though? I mean, I get the concept. Like you said it was escharotic, and you said that you put it on and it kind of causes your skin to die, necrosis and slough off, right? So that's the kind of the mindset. Okay, so if I got a wart, right, you put something on it and like a compound W, and it causes something similar, and it does eventually get burned away, and you can do little slicings of it to cut off warts and stuff. So I get the concept, but where do they get this idea that it somehow, one, doesn't affect normal skin, and two, that it draws out cancer? I don't know how they could ever make that mental connection there.
Yeah, where did this stem from?
It's a high type of alkaloid, right? I mean, it's kind of cause necrosis of some kind.
I don't know the origin of it, but I guess it comes down to it's really, really simple. I mean, I could explain that to a child and say, oh, I'll put this stuff on you and all the badness, it pulls it out. And that's good. That's a simple thing to understand. So I guess people just run with it.
Yeah, they're probably so desperate that desperation does a lot to a mind, I think. And unless you're in that situation, it's hard to think that, like right now sitting here, it's hard for us to imagine doing some of these things. But if we were in that situation.
The thing is with black salve is that it's not always people who are desperate. In fact, the vast majority of them, I personally think, haven't got anything wrong with them. They just kind of do because they've been not tricked into it, but convinced into it.
wow, the like the Black South Challenge. They want to, or they want, you know, they want
to. Oh God, please don't do that.
These are essentially Tide Pods, okay?
Yeah, I can we strike that from the record, please, Dave? Strike that from the from the live stream. Okay, so are there any other key points that you think we should hit on Black South before we move on to the next one?
Well, like I want to, maybe I should bring attention to the fact, like most of these quackeries, again, it does have origins of truth. Of this was originally used in medicine to kill off skin cancers, and but this was like way back in the 50s and 40s. There is that kind of origin of it, and people have just ran with it. My warning to people who would believe in it or know anyone who would is just Google images of it. And Google, I think it was Ruth something or other, a woman who died of it. I mean, her story is terrible. She had a slight bump on her nose, and her woo doctor told her that it was cancerous and to put this black salve on it, and she did, and she went all red and awful. And her doctor said, "Oh, that's fine because you look like it looks like a crab because you've got this redness on you, and that, you know, the sign of the zodiac crab is Cancer. So that's proof that it's working." Put more on, and then her nose fell off, and then I believe she died. Yeah.
Oh man. I mean, it does have actual uses. Correct me if I'm wrong. Zinc chloride is the active ingredient in a sunscreen, isn't it? In minor amount, it has some utility. Right? Isn't it the?
I'm not
sure. The active ingredient? Yeah, I think it's the active ingredient sunscreen. It's very, very low.
Well, like loads of compounds.
Oh, it's zinc oxide. You're right. Okay, zinc oxide, not zinc chloride. What's the difference? Well, hey, like, chemistry.
Well, one will burn your skin, and one keeps your skin from getting burnt.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I'm thinking. One of them is in sunscreen. Okay. This is why I don't do chemistry, guys.
Miles, I thought we'd cut you off there. You were getting ready to say something before we went to the sunscreen.
No, sorry about that. No, just the lag. Obviously, I'm a few seconds behind you. So, no, I'm fine.
Oh, okay. No problem. Okay, Dave, let's go to another one that I'm not certain about is the ozone one. So I want to make sure that we get that one in. So, Dave, let's go to ozone therapy. And apparently, this is one of the sessions. I'm not sure what's going on here. Maybe Miles can kind of
go in detail on that. Okay, so there's the woman behind them with what looks like a syringe. So I'm guessing she's ozifying the blood and then going to inject it back into the person they took it from.
Okay. So, by the way, Dave, there's a TV or something going in the background. I think we... There we go. Okay, perfect. So what exactly is ozone therapy, and why do people feel that it's something that can be beneficial to their health?
Oh, so ozone therapy, ozone, O3, like Black Salve, it has an origin of something useful. Ozone can kill all sorts, can kill all kinds of pathogens externally. It's used in operating rooms. It's used in sterile rooms. And people somehow believe that therefore that will translate to you using it internally and you'll be fine. So the idea is that you can expose yourself to ozone through either breathing it or mixing it in with your blood and then re-injecting it into yourself. And that will somehow cure you of everything. The reality is ozone is not a nice compound. There are people out there who believe, like, because there's an extra oxygen there, it's like five times better than regular O2. No, ozone is pretty nasty. What I love about this kind of stuff as well, it's all chemistry related. So ozone, there's a process called ozonolysis, which basically ozone can break carbon-carbon double bonds. So if you're exposed to it, it can, you know, there's a lot of you that's made up of these carbon-carbon double bonds, and it will damage you. And also, people who say breathe it in, you know, you're going to have some serious lung problems. It's going to mess you up. It's not going to cure anything. It won't even reach anything worth curing because it will react with whatever it comes into contact with, like black salve. For the people who say that, you know, you can put it in blood and then re-inject it into you, it will not survive hardly any time in blood whatsoever. So I honestly don't even see the point of that. The people who say you can bubble it through oil, no, it will just react with the oil and then also won't exist after a fair few minutes. It's another one of these panaceas that apparently cures everything. Because again, people can physically sense it. You can smell ozone. You get that kind of taste. It feels kind of clinical. And so that feeds into people believing that it's somehow helpful for you. No, this gas is toxic. And the people who want to inject it into you are nuts.
So that was my next question. Where does this happen at? Because if you're going the route where they're going to inject it in your blood or mix it with your blood and re-inject it back into you, that's obviously a medical procedure. So mm-hmm. where are these surely, you know, credible medical facilities aren't doing this practice. So where is it happening?
No.
And what are the conditions like?
So I've seen a fair few videos online and they tend to be, again, sorry, your neck of the woods. But where they tend to be done, the kind of the places right, seem to no be one. Fairly, they tend to be fairly good looking establishments. They look fairly clean. They look like real, healthcare places where you get stuff done, but the fact is that they're giving you a load of quackery.
Steve, how can that be legal over here? How can they take like pump your blood out, mix it with something toxic, and then pump it back into you?
I don't think a lot of it is. I mean, these alternative things are not sanctioned. I mean, they're not. I mean, I don't see how they are considered to be anything but malpractice if a licensed physician actually does it.
I mean, it's happening though. I mean, I've seen that whenever I was looking these things up, there are ads of place. It's kind of like to me. Did you guys hear about that? They used to be a plastic surgeon, and something happened with their license, and they set up like a side practice, and they were giving women implants, like ass implants, but with caulk, like you would use for tile. And it wound up killing a woman, but they were literally injecting caulk into people's asses as ass implants. And something happened where it ruptured or something like that, and it killed the woman. But people sign up for this stuff. Like this person willingly went into an agreement where this was going to take place. They met in a hotel room. The doctor would weren't a doctor then, but they would inject them with these caulk shots and it eventually killed the woman. But they went into it knowing that this was going to be the case. I just can't grasp that. I really can't.
Well, you say that, but I know that Botox is fairly popular among some people. And I've been down the pub with some of my friends and I've heard the conversation of, I'd have it done on the cheap though. If, you know, my mate can come around and inject me with this with this toxin for a couple of quid, I'd be up for that. And you stand back and you think, huh, that's actually quite dangerous.
Is Botox is dangerous?
Yeah, Botox is a paralytic.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
I didn't know that.
You're killing, you're paralyzing something. That's, I mean, I wouldn't want anybody who's not, I wouldn't want anybody who's licensed to give me Botox. But why would you want somebody who's not even a real medical professional putting a paralytic in you? I don't see the appeal. I'm sorry.
Yeah, see, this and they were being deadly serious down the pub. They were saying that, you know, they would go for it if it, cause it was cheaper than going to like James Cook Hospital or whatever.
That's testosterone's the same way nowadays too. The underground market for testosterone, you know, people will get prescriptions to either the gel kind that you know it's topical or the shots, and that's a huge black market now. People are, you know, guys are trying like crazy to get these testosterone things, and they, you know, there's no kind of regulation with how much you're supposed to take, how often you're supposed to cycle it, you know, everything that goes on with testosterone, because it's not something that you can just take continuously. You have to cycle that stuff through, and none of this stuff is being passed down. So you're getting guys who are their hormones are all out of whack, so they're raged out all the time. It's just causing all kind of mess because no one is there to regulate the dosage. And that, to me, is another big issue with these things. When we get to the turpentine, we'll especially talk about that. But, you know, where that comes into play, how they're telling all these people that are following them, this is how much you're supposed to take. You know, this is how often you're supposed to take it. Because it's not the same for everybody. It can't be.
Yeah, and as people pointed out in the live chat, Botox is derived from botulism. It's the same toxin from the whatever the bacteria is that makes botulism. I don't remember the name of it, botulinium or I don't know, but they get that neurotoxin from that, and it's the same thing found in botulism. Why would you want to inject that? People go out of the way not to get botulism. That was like bad back in the day. Canning, people would get botulism from improper canning. It could kill you.
So you can look surprised all the time, obviously, Steve.
Yeah, you just kind of paralyze your entire face.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts on the underground markets like this, or have you seen any of that with any other kind of like weird things like caulk or
caulk in the ass?
There was a thing in the there was a weird thing in the UK where it wasn't caulk, it was silicon for. It was the same thing, like a silicon, you know, you can get silicon gun. And I know there was a huge thing about people physically injecting that into themselves and it being a nightmare to remove and people becoming very sick and interestingly shaped after a while. But I don't know. I just generally find this stuff online. I've not really seen that much of it in real life, to be honest with you. I think I'm fairly fortunate. And I think now my friends and family know that if they mention anything like this to me and it's a bit dodge, they'll get like an eyebrow raise from me and a bit of a lecture and a finger wag.
A wag of the finger. Nice. We've got, Steve and I always say this when we have, you know, people like you come on, we've got about 20 minutes left and the time just flies by when we have people like you. It just seems like it goes by so quick when we have things that are a little bit more in the woo or people who are trying to defend these. It seems like it just drags on, but there's one that I want to make sure we get in really quick, and then if we have time we'll get the other two in. But we're gonna go, and Dave, you don't have to pull up the card for this because they've seen Danny Glass so many times, but the turpentine and the borax one I think is just this one to me is the it's the dumbest. It's the most. It's one of the most dangerous, and it's seemingly increasing because there are celebrities now that are doing turpentine. I need to figure out the girl's name. But there's an actress now that has admitted that she incorporates turpentine in her daily routine, and to me, that's just. Yeah,
it's a bit nuts. Turpentine therapy. Yeah, I made a video about it about a month ago, and I've only really found out about it about 2 months ago. The idea that you drink this paint thinner, paint stripper solvent, and it will somehow, like chili juice, cure you of all your parasites and candida, which are interchangeable apparently. It's another one where. It's another panacea. It's another magical bullet, and this one is even more bizarre. The idea is that you. Consume it on 3 sugar cubes. You put in a teaspoon, which most of them don't do. What they do is they line up the sugar cubes and then they get a pipette and they put turpentine on it until the bottom cube is saturated and then they eat it. So they could even overdose by their own standards. And the idea is that the sugar draws out the parasites from your body. So in your arms and in your fingers, into your stomach, where it's like, oh no, I thought there was only sugar here, but turns out there's turpentine, I'm dead. And then you give it the choice, which is either die in your stomach of turpentine or get shat out. yeah, I know I'm laughing, but
this is not real.
It's real. It's pretty awful. And these things are almost cookie cutter. Copy and paste. So it's very similar to jelly juice. We have someone who had this magical panacea. She found it out. It had like a distant origin and it can cure everything. And like with jelly juice, pain is healing because
the pain that you feel when you consume turpentine is not your body having an adverse reaction to consuming paint stripper. It's the candida and parasites dying off, lysing inside of you, and then they're releasing toxins, which is bad for your health. That's their theory.
The pain is actually having listened to that. That's the pain. People think that makes
sense. It's hard for me to just believe that there are people that buy this. I mean, just the thought of drinking turpentine, like when you say that to a rational thinking individual, they're going to look at you like they're crazy. They're not even going to entertain that possibility. Like, that's not even an option.
So they've got to change it. They've got to tweak it from a marketing point of view. So it's not turpentine. It's gum something of turpentine. Which exactly the same.
Oh.
And it's all natural. So as long as you don't say it's turpentine, you can get down the store. Even though the woman who originally came up with it actually got it from a hardware shop originally, it's gum turpentine, which is all natural. It's collected by the topless nuns of wherever. It's all spin. And not only that, they use what people know not to drink paint thinner, but they use that as an advantage. They use it as part of the conspiracy. So this idea that you shouldn't drink it, you know, that's the pharmaceutical companies who don't want you to know that. That's all lies. No, it's fine. Totally drink it. The warning labels that come on all the stuff, that's bollocks. Did you see Danny Glass's explanation to why they have warning labels on turpentine bottles, including the gum one that he's selling?
No, I've not heard this.
So you've got to watch it. He basically says, and this is not going to make any sense, I'm just going to warn you, he says they have to put it on there so they don't get sued. They're actually fine with you drinking it. They just don't want to get sued. And you're like, well, how does that make sense? Why would they be open to getting sued if this stuff's going to kill you, Danny? You twat.
Oh, that's a good word for him, twat.
So I'm not a fan of Danny at all.
Do they just call it a gum because it's a type of tree resin? Because that's where they get a lot of these spirits from, is distillation of tree sap, right? Or some resin, some type of resin. So they're just calling that a gum, and they're thinking that somehow makes it, I don't know, organic or more organic or somehow magically not something you want to put in your system. Because I don't see how changing that gum makes any bit of difference to these people.
Well, I can see that because stuff that's all natural – yeah, it can't possibly be bad for you, right? And stuff that comes from a tree. Everyone loves trees.
Probably be bad for you. It's natural.
Bears are bad for you. They're natural. I'm not a fan of them.
That's a good point.
It's another crazy one, and it's one that is also makes no sense. You briefly talked about dosing before and how people could, you know, get the wrong dosage with certain things, with jelly juice and what have you. Turpentine therapy is a very bad one because the woman who came up with it says that the dose of one teaspoon is fine if you're between 240 pounds, so a rather large adult, and 40 pounds, so a child. They will have the same dose. And I think I looked up. In the past, we've had examples of children dying consuming as little as 15 mils. And a tablespoon is 5 mils, but they recommend, depending on who you listen to, that you drink it either every day or 4 times every week for so many months. So exposing a child to that amount, you know, may potentially kill them. And one thing that people often forget is they often like to talk in numbers with regarding death, figures of how many people die. Just because a certain number of people didn't die doesn't mean this stuff isn't dangerous, doesn't mean that this isn't going to have a massive negative effect on someone's health, doesn't mean that, you know, that it's not damaging them. Drinking turpentine, absolutely, exposing yourself to turpentine will have prolonged negative effects. And just because these Muppets have survived so long doing it doesn't necessarily mean that you, if you've got God knows what's wrong with you, that you are going to be the same.
The celebrity I was talking about is Tiffany Haddish. She's been in the movies Nobody's Fool, Girls Trip, Night School. She hosted Saturday Night Live about a month and a half ago. It's very fun. She's very funny. She's very funny. And I think you're right when you say that our neck of the woods, our pond. For some reason, our country is just so, you know, we fall for these things for some reason at an alarming rate. I can't figure out why that's the case. And it just seems like we get so entrenched.
I think you guys tend to have different things. I mean, like I said, in the UK, in Ireland, we had a few years ago, MMS was huge, which it wasn't so big over in America. And also we had, you know, the whole anti-vax movement came from the UK. Apologies for that, by the way. So we have our own little niche things over here.
Speaking of anti-vax, I guess we can, this will be the one to wrap up on, but there was a article that came out. Let me see if I can find it today. And I live in North Carolina. So when I saw this headline, it kind of was a little bit alarming, but from the Washington Times, an anti-vaccination stronghold, excuse me, in North Carolina is hit with the state's worst chickenpox outbreak in 2 decades. So in the, basically, long story short, in Asheville, in the Asheville area, which is the mountain region here in North Carolina, there's a high concentration of parents who are choosing not to get their kids vaccinated. And in that specific region where that's the case, where it's saturated with people who are not getting their children vaccinated, they're seeing the one of the worst outbreaks of chickenpox within that area. Now, to me, just looking at things objectively, and I'm sure that if you broke it down, you would find at a more alarming rate than this lays out. But this clearly shows that there are ramifications for not getting your children vaccinated. And this is in a small town on a small level, you know, a small scale. If this was to be amplified in a larger city like New York or LA, the ramifications would be, I mean, just, it would just be bad, I think. I mean, to the point where it would cause some sort of alarming epidemic, I think. And I think people should learn and look at things like this and take something away from it. And that's that if you don't vaccinate your children, not only will your children be affected, but you're also endangering the kids that they're around as well. And it's just going to, I mean, what do you think about the whole anti-vax movement and what do you see in that community?
Well, again, it's fairly big over here. And I think, was it 4 or 5 years ago, we actually had a bit of a measles epidemic. And Teesside, where I'm from, was a node where we actually had a fair few cases. I've argued with people going down the pub who don't want to get their kids vaccinated. And I've talked through the papers, and they just didn't want to know, the people who I was talking to. And it came across as they rather not take the risk of getting their child vaccinated. They don't see any problems with not getting them vaccinated. They've never really seen measles, mumps, rubella, polio, smallpox. They've never seen these things. So that kind of risk doesn't exist to them. But the risk of autism or a negative effect of being vaccinated is there because it's in the media. You know, they see on Facebook or I mean, I saw the other day there was a post by Larry Cook, who is another twat, who said that getting all your vaccines as a child is like a tornado, hurricane, and something all mixed together but worse, which makes no sense. And I'm not sure how you can even compare the two. But these parents are exposed to it all the time. So the idea that, you know, I think it all really comes down to you have to physically do something to get your kids vaccinated and putting a risk on there that they may not see. And it's a hard one to get over to parents because you can't say that, oh, you just don't care about your child's health, because obviously they do. They want the best for them. They've just been convinced by charlatans and quacks that, you know, vaccines are the worst thing since Hitler. And it is really serious. I mean, again, like the people measure these things in death rates, which I don't think you really should do now in 2018. You should try and although it'd be very difficult to do, measure it on how many negative effects people would have. Yeah, okay, we had a bit of an outbreak in measles here in the UK 4 years ago, and we had one person that died. So it was only one person. But how many people lost a child who had a child aborted? How many people now are sterile? How many people have problems with their brain? You know, how many is people? Yeah. And it'd be a large number. And I think people don't seem to register. They just see things. Oh, we only had one death, but how many people did we save from becoming ill from whatever?
Right. And you said that. I think you brought up a really good point when you're talking about the conversation that you had you have down at the pub, where these parents, they've never had to deal with these diseases, so it doesn't make sense to them. And the reason they haven't dealt with these diseases is because they were vaccinated. Those vaccines prevented them from actually having to experience those. So in a way, that proves their entire point right there. There's a reason why, you can go back several decades, and where these things were actually killing people, where prior to vaccinations and that sort of thing, these diseases were taking people out by the millions. In the what year was it, Steve, that a third of the population died out from the flu? I can't remember what the year was.
Well, the Spanish flu, or 19, which one? A whole bunch of different flu.
It was like 1918, I think. Yeah.
And there's been a lot of polio outbreaks. My uncle died of polio back in the 50s or 60s. I don't remember exactly. But back then, polio was a big scare. I mean, he had the whole, the thing to walk with, the whole nine yards. People would put in iron lungs. It was an epidemic back then. But then Salk invented the polio vaccine, and you could literally watch it go just non-existent.
Right. So, I mean...
It's the problem is it's a hard one to get over to parents because again, it comes down to a lot of people who do talk about like the pros of vaccines. Most people talk about the pros of vaccines, but they can be quite aggressive towards these parents who don't, rightly so, I think, to these parents who don't get their kids vaccinated. But that, as soon as you do that, they'll put up a wall and they won't listen to anything you have to say. And it's a tightrope. And I don't envy GPs or doctors at the moment because they are having to face this. Sorry. I don't have the answer for this one again. I'm a terrible ghost.
Yeah. No, you've been fantastic. This has been great. Like I said, I really appreciate you, you taking the time to come on here. I think you proved tonight why, people like yourself are necessary and important, because being able to
stop it now.
seriously, being able to have somebody that may be on this is one of the people that I really looked up to even before I started doing YouTube. I like the people that are able to me, when you do these shows or when you do videos, you're not speaking to the person that the subject of the video. Yes, and I think a lot of people get that mistaken. They think that when people do videos or when they host debates, that it's between those two people, or it's centered on the person that is the focus of your video. But it's not. You're trying to hit the people that are on the fence or on the other side of that argument. You're using them as a vessel, and it takes, I think, somebody that is creative and able to, convey ideas or arguments in a way that everybody can understand, that really makes that connection. And, people like you and stated clearly, I think in the science, educator world, that's what I would put it under, are brilliant at that. I mean, you just have a way of taking these concepts and making them simple. And that's what people need, especially with that study of millennials now resorting to things like pseudoscience. People need those other, the other side out there, and in a way that they can grasp and really see where what they're looking into is just wrong and dangerous.
Oh, thanks, man. That's really nice of you to say, because I don't hear that kind of often, because most of the time I look through my comment section, it's just like, shut up, faggot, or go die.
You're in good company. You're in good company. You're in good company. Actually, the biggest burn that and whoever this guy is, like, he's a legend, but the biggest burn that we've gotten is your channel sucks so bad, I'm going to subscribe just so I can unsubscribe.
Which they did the first time. Now it's like an everyday thing. They subscribe and they'll unsubscribe.
Steve, you want to we got any super chats? And we'll get those questions out of the way, and then we'll wrap up.
Yep, we got a couple, but I should tell people that alcohol is natural, so go for it. And non-sequitur, we're natural as well, so we're good for you. Here we go. Stephen Powellman, $5. Didn't the FDA tell her to knock off the colonoscopy juice claims? Yes, but she doesn't listen. She's still peddling it, so...
Wasn't the FDA,
had a message deleted.
FTC, I think.
I was going to say it was mainly about where she could put all this stuff as well. So it was, you can't really say this kind of stuff on Facebook anymore and you can't really promote it. So now she hides behind her password on her website. It's still all going on behind there. It's just, it's not in the public view anymore.
I was in there for a week and she booted me after my dick pic comment.
I had a message deleted. Don't know who it's from for $1. Thank you. Brian Stevens, he says, for $2, can I stay with Miles on my honeymoon? I didn't know you're getting married, but congratulations. But if your wife's cool with it and Miles cool with it, hey, Mazel Tov. I don't judge.
Everybody in the live chat is saying Miles come back. So I think you did good work today, sir.
Oh,
and brilliant. Brian Stevens, $2. Smash that like button. Let's hit 100. We got 64 likes now, like 30 something before. So get 100.
You're chopping out, Steve. Come back to us.
Oh, we got one more super chat. Brian Stevens, $20. Wow, he must be drunk. I love that. Alcohol's natural. Drink up, buddy. 100 likes. Make it happen. Yeah, he actually said he was drunk. So there you go.
Yeah, I think most people would be tonight. This is that weird night. Tonight is the most or the biggest night that bars have, believe it or not. I saw this last year and I thought this was so interesting. The night before Thanksgiving is always the biggest attended nights that bars have, and I think it's because people go home for Thanksgiving and they don't want to spend, a lot of time around the fam. So they're like, well, we're just going to go out and meet old friends, and everybody gets up. And if you're drunk. Awesome. Well, Miles, we're gonna give you the last word to wrap up any kind of last minute thoughts that you may have. Plug everything where your social media, your channel, where people can find you, get more. And by the way, all of those links, the channel is in the description now. But whatever else that he plugs, I will have in the description, so you can just link it if you're watching this later on tonight or in the future. So take it away, sir.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. It's bloody late though, so I'm going to go to bed after this. I've got to be up early.
Yes.
My channel's youtube.com/pyram1985. I've got a Facebook and a Twitter and all that kind of jazz if you want to stalk me. I don't think I'm that interesting, but hey, if you're into that kind of stuff, more the merrier. And yeah, just come check out my crap. I think it's interesting. I think none of my friends do, but hey ho. Thanks for having me on the show.
Dude. 100,000 people find you interesting.
Can we, if I come down to England, can we go have a beer together and hang out at the pub? I want to meet these people that you talk to.
Don't do it, Miles.
You're a good man.
Regret it. I promise. You'll regret it. Michael, just in the last minute, super chat in. Watch Vax TV on YouTube. I'm not sure what that is, but.
I watched Vax the movie, if that's similar, and that is probably one of the most boring movies I've ever seen. Usually with anti-vaccine documentaries, they can be quite interesting and out there, but Vaxxed is just dull.
It's an anti-vax thing. Okay. I still want to
get my first wife on that. Trying to get her is very difficult, but are you guys familiar with her, Ken Hovind's first wife, or second wife, sorry. She was an anti-vaxxer.
No. Sorry.
Yeah, she was Mary Toko was her name, and she was one of the pioneers in the whole movement for the anti-vaxxing. And if anybody has a way of getting a hold of it, people have talked to her, but I would love to get Mary Toko on to talk about her promotion of anti-vaccine.
He just married her. She, what do you mean his ex?
Married her. No, they're divorced again. No. They're already divorced. He's got a third wife now. Can't be married again.
No, he does not. Can't tell.
Yeah, no, seriously.
You play or you.
Yeah, he has. And by the way,
Dr. Dino,
he was too crazy for an anti-vaxxer. What does that tell you?
What time is it over there in England?
It's 2:30 in the morning, and I have
you need to go.
I have to be up in 5.5 hours for a job. So I should probably go.
Well, we are letting Miles go. Thank you so much for staying up, especially that. We don't realize, I don't think, or we take for granted that our friends across the pond have to shift their schedules and stay up. So we really do appreciate you, your willingness to do that with us. And for you guys, we hope that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving tomorrow. And I will see you in the morning. Either I'll be cooking or maybe I can answer any kind of, if you have any last minute dish, need ideas or need any answers to questions, I can do that. I can break out my former chef self. And then eat a lot, wear the stretch kind of pants tomorrow, sweatpants or anything with the Velcro that can, you know, give you a little extra inch, and you'll be good. And we'll see you soon.
Non sequitur, your facts are uncoordinated.